Let us remain standing just a moment now for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful indeed for the privilege of assembling together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now before us lays Thy Word. And oh, how we handle that quietly, Lord, and reverently, because it is the Word of God. And it's to be that be Your will that I am to try to explain a great subject tonight. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will give me words to say that would be beneficiary to the church and for the good of the kingdom of God. Grant it, Lord. You are our Father, and we love You with all of our heart. And we pray now that You'll bless us. And as I think what I would do if I had in my hands tonight in a glass just at one drop of the blood of the Lord Jesus, how I would hold it to my heart and just, I'd be almost afraid to breathe. But then, Father, in Your sight, You've given to my hands a greater, the purchase of Your blood. Your church that You gave Your blood for to save it. Now help us, Lord, that we might feed the flock of God to which the Holy Ghost has made our overseers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are trusting the Lord Jesus to send His blessings upon us. I was just in the room a few minutes ago. Something has shook me. How many knows Raymond Ritchie? He's sitting back there in the room. I just prayed for him. And he's overworked himself and caused himself to have a break and a stroke. Terrible condition. Lovely brother at the time. Brother Raymond was standing right there on a platform that night when the angel of the Lord came down before thousands of people. When I said, when Dr. Bess was debating about with Dr. Bosworth about my ministry, and I said, I don't claim to be a healer. He said, nothing but a bunch of holy rollers would believe that. I said, how many Baptists here, members of these Baptist churches, can say and can prove that they've been healed by the Lord? Raise up your hand. And about, I guess, 300 or more stood up. And I said, what about them? And so then I said, people believe in divine healing. I said, I'm not a divine healer. I never claimed that. I said, my literature's published in many different languages. I said, I never did claim to be a healer. I said, I only claim to be God's servant. And I said, now, if the gift of God, which He gave to me on the discernment, I said, now, if that's in question, God will speak for Himself. About that time, here He come down. Coming down like that. That's when He took the picture of it. And he said to me, he got down on his knees back there, Edger prayed for him, put his arm around me and said, I've got a message for you. What? Said, stop preaching too hard and too long. He said, you're going to go right the same way I went. I almost did it one time anyhow. Said, Brother Branham, said, in them visions and things, I see the way it works on you. Said, I just kept going on. Said, I had one break, and then he started overseas, had another one, and there he's. God doesn't touch him. He's just finished for life. So he said, you can't get no more done. Said, there'll be some will say this, or that, or so forth. And said, that won't make it any better. Said, as long as you do your ministry, show the people that God sent you. Said, then that settles it. Just let it go at that. Said, if it won't, said, if it don't, said, he made me promise in earth my hands and his. The mark of the beast and the seal of God. We've heard so much about it. I've seen charts that reach across this platform here about mark of the beast and the seal of God. But to me, it's so simple. It's just such a simple thing to look in the Word and see it. So I don't think, I've got about three or four pages of different scriptures I want to wrote out here that I want to refer to for you tonight. While I was thinking about this afternoon, I put down scriptures here in different pages so I could find out, and you could write it down if you want to. Now, it's a great subject, and I think that it is an essential subject that should be taught on. Now, we've had gospel sermons, we've had divine healing, and now this ought to be the second coming of Christ, on His second coming. Brother Smith, is that your wife? How do you do, Sister Smith? I no wonder he's a fine man. He's such a fine-looking, godly-looking little lady as a wife. I may have met you before. You say behind every good man, there's a good wife. That's very fine. I know my wife, if there's any credit to go to Branham family, give it to her, because she's the one that... But she's 10 years younger than I am, and snow white-headed, and she just, because she stood between me and the public, and I don't know what I would do without her. God certainly gave me a wonderful wife. They're a wonderful thing, Brother Smith. Just, well, if he could give a man anything better, he would have done it. That's right. That's right. That's true. Oh, he who has found a wife has found a good thing, says the wisest man we've ever had. I think that a wife is the best thing a man can have outside of salvation. That's right. That's right. She's lovely. Now, I'm going to base the scripture. First, I'm going to tell you what I think the mark of the beast is and what I think the scripture supports the mark of the beast to be. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think the scripture supports the seal of God. Now, we know that these two great things are ending up soon, and to two great grips. The world is gripped by these two things right now, the mark of the beast or the seal of God. Some of them places way over in the future. Some says it's already been in the past. But I believe that there's just two answers to it. And that is that the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The mark of the beast is rejected. Now, that's the only two things I'm going to give you scripture why now as we go through. Now, one of them is, remember, all the peoples on earth in the last days is either going to be sealed by the seal of God or marked by the mark of the beast. And he caused all, both poor, great, bond, free, all upon the earth to receive this mark who did not have the seal, and whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, when the Lamb was slain, and when their names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, those two great things. Now, we're going to start first upon the seal of God. Now, what is a seal? The first place, a seal in the Bible, back in days before people had educated like they are now, they usually, their seal was their signature, just like we use today as our name. Sometimes the Romans and all back in Jewish and way back in the early Eastern countries, they'd have a ring and had their seal and stamp it on something. If they couldn't sign their name, that seal. A seal was a bona fide statement. It was sealed by this seal. And to try to copy this was a capital fine, just like it would be now to try to forge a check, somebody's name on a check. It was a great fine to try to copy this seal. And usually the man had his seal wore on his back of his wrist or either on his ring, and he would seal it instead of signing his name. That showed that he had sealed it. Now, Jesus said that in the last days, According to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 24th verse, that these two spirits, the ones that was sealed with God and the ones that would be marked by the beast, the Antichrist, would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Yes. See? Now they're going to be so much alike. Now some people says, communism is the mark of the beast. You're wrong. Communism is not the mark of the beast. Yet it is, but it isn't heading up. The mark of the beast is a religious nature. Very religious. So cunning and sly until it'll deceive the very elected if it was possible. Just so close till it would deceive the elected if it was possible. Of course, Billy Graham said not long ago, I was hearing him a few Sundays ago on my radio coming down here, and he was preaching. He said, you hear so much about cigarette and Viceroy or what it was and tips at this end, fire at this end and everything like that. Said a man would smoke them at all was a fool. And I think he's about right. Said that even they got so much publicity on things like that until the devil had deceived the elected. I don't believe Brother Grimm meant it just like that, because the elected will not be deceived. No, sir, they will not be deceived. They were foreordained of God, and they will not be deceived. So, but Jesus said they would be very close together, so close to light. Now, remember that be so close that the very elected could be deceived if it would be possible. Now, we want to find out where they come from. Where did this all start? As I've told you, that every cult and every religion began in Genesis. Everything we have, the assemblies of God, began in Genesis. The Baptists begin in Genesis. I can prove it. Yes, sir. Every cult even we have, I can prove it. It began in Genesis. That's right. Just search Genesis and then you got the rest of it. You see what kind of seed it is. You see where it's going to. See? And just watch it and it'll just find its way right through the Bible. Just exactly. Both of them begin in Genesis. And we find out that Genesis is the seed chapter. Now we find out that the first marking of a human being started in Genesis 4:15. God marked Cain. That's where the first mark of the beast was ever put on. Was put on Cain. He is the beginning of it. Now, you say, Cain having the mark of the beast, all right, let's notice. Now he said, thy seed shall bruise the serpent's head, and his head shall bruise thy heel. What's the lineage of Cain? As Cain come down, become scientist, smart man, great man, on down like that. But the seed of Seth, as it come down, become peasants, sheep herders, farmers. So you see, there is, now watch, the Bible said, I'll put enmity, God did, between your seed and the serpent's seed. Now, so, minister and brother, just hold your peace just a minute. I know you always climb down my neck on this. But the Bible said that the serpent had a seed. That settles it. The serpent's seed, let it be any way you want to take it, will restrain from that. I got my idea too. But whatever it will, the Bible said in Genesis 1, the first of Genesis, that the serpent had a seed. And now remember, the serpent was not a snake to begin with, a reptile. He was the next thing to a human being. Science has tried for thousands of years to find that missing link between man and beast. The closest they can come is to a chimpanzee. But they cannot get from the chimpanzee to the human being. Why? It was a serpent. Now, if you notice in Genesis 3 and 1, the beast, the serpent, was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. A beast, not a reptile. He was more like a man. He looked like a man. He was that missing link in between there, because that's the only way. The seed of a human will not coincide with the seed of a animal. But this fellow was the only one the devil could use, because it was just between man and beast. And the genealogies, I believe in evolution. The first thing, maybe when there was nothing but just plain chaos, volcanic eruption. You know, God's a great contractor. You believe that?
Yeah.
A great contractor always lays out all of his stuff when he builds his subdivision. God, when he is moving the earth around, creating calcium, potash, and petroleum, and so forth, he was laying our bodies on the earth right then.
Yeah.
The material that we're made out of. And the great Holy Spirit went out from God to brood over the earth, or coo, make love, like a hen or brood. And let's think he had wings. He did not, but let's think he had wings like a hen or over a brood. He began to brood over the earth. And I can see some calcium coming, running down a little place, mixing up with some moisture and potash, and a little Easter flower come out. Now I can hear him say, "Come here, Father, and look at this. Very good. Keep on brooding." After a while, brood a little more. What come out next was probably the flowers and the vegetations, and the birds flew out of the dust of the earth, and then come the animal life, and kept getting higher life, higher life, higher life, higher life, and to finally a man come up in the very image of God. Strange, something come up higher than that, wasn't it? Can't get no higher. It was the image of God. So as it evolution brings it up like that, but they can't cross to make themselves higher. God said every seed brings of its kind. Now, in that come up then the man. Now, sin did not start in earth. It began in heaven, and he was kicked out of heaven and came to the earth. There was nothing else he could get into. The animal would be too far from him. Seed wouldn't mix, so he had to get into the serpent, which was a being more like a man. And when God cursed him and put him on his belly, he changed every bone in him. Science trying to dig up bones. What's hidden in the mysteries of God, and will reveal it to anybody that wants to know about it. Sure. There is now, watch. He was the most substantial, most shrewd, cunning, wisdom, smarter than the animal. He was right next to the man. See? The most substantial of all the beasts of the field. And now, remember that Cain was given a mark. And now you say Satan could not have been that serpent. If you'll go with me now over to 2 Corinthians 11:14, the Bible said he transformed himself into an angel of light.
Yes.
You just underestimate Satan, that's all. Yes, sir, he made himself into an angel of light. He could come in that kind of a substance, then why could he come into a beast? Next thing to a man. Now, we find out that because that Cain listened to the enemy, then what happened? He become the first murderer. He become the first one that had jealousy on earth. Tell me where that pure line from God to Adam, that's the only connection. Adam was the Son of God. The Bible said so. Then where did that jealousy come from? Where did that murder come from? Where did all that kind of a spirit come from? Out of Adam? Couldn't have. Come from Satan. It's exactly where it come from. Now, we find out he was the first murderer. And he was the first one to have jealousy. Lucifer got jealous of Michael, brought it right down to the earth and transferred it into man. And Satan came by taking on this evil, took the first mark. God marked him. No one was to kill him. Let him alone. But you remember, as soon as he marked him, he went out from the presence of God.
Yes.
Hold on to that now. Oh, we don't have time to give it a real thorough study because, oh, brother, we could dig this year for 6 months. See? Never touch the outsides of it. See? Notice, he went out from the presence of God when he was marked. Went to the land of Nod and got him a wife. Very type of the church. Goes out from God. Gets a wife of the world. See? Watch it. Glorious. Now we'll have to change quickly now that we don't take too much time. Now we find out that then Abel, Cain's brother, Cain slew Abel. And God gave Adam another son instead of Abel, whose name was Seth. Yeah. And it was a sign. And a sign from God of death and resurrection. So, Seth never went to the land of Nod to get his wife. God gave him a wife. But Cain, with the mark of the beast on him, went out and got him a wife from the land of Nod, and Seth took God's choice. Perfect type of the denominational church today, going out, taking in anything. But the true church of the living God, Christ's body only takes what the Holy Ghost seals. Perfect. God has set in the church. What did the sign come by? What did the churches mark by? What was this sign? We know Cain had the mark. Then what was the sign of the resurrection? That's what the church is signed by today. The sign of the Holy Spirit, that Christ is not dead, but he raised from the dead and taken in the church. See? Sealing is church. That begins right with them two boys right there in the Garden of Eden, right outside the garden. The mark of the beast, a wanderer, a fugitive. Don't know where he's going. Don't know what he knows. Don't know what he does want. He's a fugitive. But Seth stayed at home. And he was with his father. And God gave him a wife. There starts in the lineage. And if you want to chase that down one time, I better leave it alone. I just like to prove it to you over and over and over and over. Yes, sir. That's right. That's where it began. Some people think that they taking apples in the Garden of Eden, eat some apples. And the first thing you know, that's the first sin. Oh, brother. Let me tell you, I don't say this for a joke. It's no place to joke. But if eating apples will cause women to realize they're naked, we better pass the apples again. I think so. I think we ought to do it. It wasn't apples. We all know that. No, we realize in a mixed audience what it was, and we see what it did. Now, we find out then that this was a mark, is a distinction. It makes a difference. It separates something. But, like you say, you got one mark against you. A mark. But you never said you had one seal against you. You got one mark against you. And a seal is a sign of ownership. A mark is a distinction. And the church is sealed by the Holy Spirit, showing as ownership. God owns the church.
Amen.
But the mark of the beast is the wayward, the outcast that refused to take it, come God's provided way. Cain, as soon as he was marked, was sent away. We get that. Abel died, and Seth, raised to take his place, was a sign of resurrection. All right. We find out that these two, mark and seal, begin in Genesis, and it comes down through the Bible and ends up in Revelations. We also have a scripture here about that, where it started in Genesis, ends up in Revelations. It's always been in one form or the other, coming up. Like I was preaching the other night on the blood offering, blood sacrifice. Babylon is spoke of in Genesis, the first of the Bible. Babylon spoke of in the middle of the Bible. Babylon spoke of in the last of the Bible. Starts in Genesis, comes over to Revelation. Everything begins, them two spirits. Look here, let's just take it a minute. Even in the ark, there was the dove and the crow in the ark. One, both of them birds, both of them could fly. Both of them, you know, the crow is a hypocrite. He is. He's just a dirty hypocrite. Now, a crow can sit down over there on an old dead horse and just eat and caw and flop his wings to have a big time. That poor little dove can't get near it. Why? It hasn't got any gall. See? It couldn't digest it. If it eat that, it would die. But the crow can sit there and eat dead horse a half a day, go out in the field and come home and eat dinner with wheat with the crow, with the dove. He's an old hypocrite. So, did you ever notice a dove has no gall of bitterness? Neither does anyone that's baptized with the Holy Ghost. All the bitterness has gone away. They were both in the same ark. Like the hypocrite and the real believer in the same church, same denomination. Sitting together, seat, same pew. Sitting together. I want you to notice another thing. Oh, I like to talk about nature. The dove, did you know you don't catch the dove taking a bath? Why? He don't have to. He's got an oil inside of him that goes out through his feathers and keeps himself clean all the time.
Hallelujah.
That's the way a real church. They don't have to be bathing up and going back about this, that, or that, but they got an oil, holy oil on the inside, every believer, that keeps him clean from the things of the world. Oh, if we could just preach on the lamb and dove sometime. The Holy Ghost inside the believer keeps him clean, not from the outside what he washes off, but it comes from the inside out.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
A lot of people say, I have to go make confession today. I have to say so and so, and I have to go make a confession. I have to do this. But, you know, the Holy Spirit inside us works all out all the time. The atonement, keeping the believer clean. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do we get into it? By one handshake? No. By one paper? By one denomination? No. But by one Spirit. We are all baptized into one body.
Amen.
Free from judgments. God's done judged that body. God judged it at Calvary. It won't have to be judged anymore. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal life. There's not two forms of eternal life, only one. Has eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. When I see the blood, I'll pass, will pass over you. Oh, my. That makes me feel religious. Why? Free from sin. That's right. He that's born of God doth not commit sin, cannot sin. Seed of God remains in him, he can't sin. There can't be me under a sin offering all the time and then be a sinner. You cannot. You never seen a sinner saint. You never seen a black, white bird, a drunk, sober man. No, sir. You're either a sinner or a saint. That's all. And if you're in Christ, there is a blood atonement offering all day long, crying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what you're doing. Oh, then you can rest assured. Amen. I like that. So beautiful there, the Holy Spirit, how it seals us. Notice the crow, the dove. Let's notice from Cain and Abel. That was nothing in the world but Judas and Jesus. Certainly, let's watch the smoke. As Cain killed Abel at the altar. Now Cain, if righteousness is all that God requires our being fundamental, that's what I've always said about the two classes of people. I meet the fundamental and the Pentecost. The fundamentals seem positionally from their schooling, they know where they stand, but they haven't got no faith. The Pentecostals got the faith, but don't know who they are. See? Like I said, somebody's got money in the bank, can't write a check, nothing write a check, got no money in the bank. Get them together. Now, we see that the Pentecostals is the one that's got the faith. They believe, but they're full of fire. They're full of the Holy Ghost, but they don't know how to settle down on that word and say, it's thus saith the Lord. They blow it all out the whistle with screams and shouts and runs. If they could ever bottle it down, you'd see a church stand on her feet in power and glory. There'd be a book of Acts wrote behind it. Now, notice. Yeah, I didn't mean it. They take it out in joy instead of power, faith. Hold that there and believe it. It's God's word. Stay right with it. Look at Cain come up and offer an offering, build an altar, belong to a church, belong to a denomination, knelt the altar and prayed, worshiped God, gave in his tithing. That's all God requires. Cain was just as justified as Abel was. But you see, the whole secret was a revelation. There's where the trouble is. People don't understand that the whole church of the living God is built upon a spiritual revelation of Christ. Amen. Jesus said so in St. Matthew 16. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And up thou art Simon, upon this rock I'll build my church. when the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ, and He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when that Word comes into you, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, even discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's the Word coming in, the revelation of every word of God is true. Hang your soul on any phase of it. Revelation. Oh, I like these things. My, I think it sets the church to where you could have a healing service. See, God said so. That settles it. That's all of it. God said so. Just stay right with it. Now, but how there was no Bible in that day, so it must have been revealed to Abel. Hebrews 11 said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, testifying of him that he was righteous. Now Cain said, I guess my mother eats some apples and she had to put on clothes. But Abel knew that it was blood, life. There had been something happened wrong. And he offered the blood of a lamb. I can see him coming with this little lamb. Oh, Satan's altar was much more beautiful than Abel's. He had fruits and flowers and all pretty. But that's what I'm trying to tell the church. Sister, you don't have to wear manicured, all prettied up, and wear a dress like the next lady to be right with God. You don't have to have a church that's got $1,000 pews in it and a pipe organ that costs several million dollars and all this your fancy stuff. That come from hell. Right. I can prove it by the Bible. Right. Cain thought these things. I'll offer these things, but I imagine Abel's offering wasn't so good. Probably didn't have any hemp in that day, so must have had a grapevine wrapped around that little old lamb's neck, lit it up there and laid it up on the rock. He didn't have a lance or a knife in that, so he must have took a piece of rock, pulled its little head back, began to chop its little neck, and as it began to blade and kick, and the blood going all over him, bleeding, blading, dying on the rock. Yes. What did it represent? 4,000 years later, the Lamb of God hacked to death on the rock of ages, bleeding, blading, speaking in tongues as he was dying on Calvary. Oh, dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. All the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Our educational programs, denominational programs will mean not that. It'll take the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to do it. Yes. Watch the smoke come up from there. And remember, here it is, believer. Abel died on the same rock with his lamb. Every believer has to do the same thing. Down the rock with your lamb. A lamb don't have but one thing, and that's wool. And he has to forfeit all he's got. You don't kick up a fuss about it. You take the little fellow and throw him up there. It's like, said, a lamb done before shears. He gets sheared off. You don't fuss about it. Only thing he's got, he forfeits it willing. And we say we're Christians. Somebody wrote me a little letter the other day and a little note, I got it down there. Said, I got a right, I'm an American citizen, I wear any kind of clothes I want to. Go right ahead. It's all right. That shows you're a goat. That's right. You just go ahead and wear them if you wish. But remember, if you're a lamb, you have got a right to it, but you forfeit your rights for Christ. I got a right to get drunk tonight, too. I'm an American citizen. I got a right to smoke cigarettes. I'm an American citizen. You have, too, but we forfeit our rights. Be shaved off of those things. Act like gentlemen, like ladies, dress like it and act like it and live like it. Forfeiture rights. Look at the smoke coming up from the altar. Come right on up and settle down on Calvary. As Cain killed Abel at the altar, Judas killed Jesus at the altar. Right? Notice, again, you only see three crosses, don't you? There were four. Four crosses. There was Jesus in the middle, a thief on one side and a thief on the other, and Judas hung himself on a sycamore tree. And Jesus is hanging on a tree too. Cursed is he that hang up on a tree and has made a curse for us. Judas is on just as much cross as he was because he's on a tree. Jesus on much tree as Judas was. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Watch here. There was the Son of God. God made manifest. Came down from heaven, returning back to heaven, taking with him the repentant sinner. And there was Judas, the son of perdition, come from hell, returning back to hell, taking with him the unrepentant sinner.
Amen.
Going back again. Oh, it's beautiful. As God opened up the side of Adam in the garden and took out a part to make a bride, God opened up the side of Jesus at Calvary and took out the bride. Out of his side. Oh, it's beautiful. At the cross, how it is, and how them two spirits, how they come up through Cain, Abel, the crow, the dove. And look, we think again, Cain, when he went over into the land of Nod, he got himself a wife. And we find out that that wife, I got the scripture wrote down, I won't go into that at this time. Look at Israel. Israel, when it left out of there like two vines, we see it coming on up. It's always been that way. Look, here come Israel on its road to the promised land like the church is today. What did it meet? It met Moab. And he sent up to his brother and said, can we cross your land? If our cattle lick up any grass, we'll pay for it. If they drink any water, we'll pay for it. And he refused to do it. Now look at here. There was Israel, a little bunch of interdenominationals riding around through the country. No place to settle down, but on their road home. Moab was settled down with the dignitaries, numbered amongst the nations of the world. Notice what happened. Israel had the true bloodstream. Remember how Balaam tried to marry in like that? He had to oust off them women and all. Teaching of Balaam. Doctrine of Balaam. Notice, there was Moab. Believed in the same God that Israel believed in. For it was what? Another illegitimate wrong wife, Lot's child by his daughter. Just exactly like the unborn churches today, the church natural, is a church of the world committing spiritual fornications with the world and not living true to God. Very beautiful time. Notice, fundamentally speaking, now, fundamental brother, I don't want to pinch you too hard, but I want you to feel it. Notice, here come the bishop down, Balaam, and he got up there and the king said, come down and curse this people. Said, I don't want them over here. They can't have one of them healing services over here. Well, they're always carrying on about healing and said they got a brass serpent down there that they all look at and get well and say they're eating manna out of heaven. I didn't see any of it. And, oh, it's a bunch of nonsense. And said, I want you to come down and curse them. We don't want none of that stuff mixed up in our denominations over here. So keep them out of here.
Notice he was just as fundamental as Israel was. He built 7 altars, 7 sacrifices, 7 rams, just exactly like they were doing down in the camp of Israel. They just the same sacrifices. But what Balaam failed to see was that smitten rock, that brass serpent, the shout of the camp, of the king. He failed to see that pillar of fire going before them. That's what it is today. They say you belong to them Pentecostals. They're a bunch of holy rollers. They used to be, but they're not no more. But so they belong to them, but they fail to see that pillar of fire. Now, so they can be sure to see it, we got a picture of it scientifically proved. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. They fail to see the pillar of fire, the shout of the camp, that there's a king among us. Amen. King Jesus. They fail to see it. He failed to see that blood atonement. They say, I know a Pentecostal man run off with another man's wife. I know a Baptist and Presbyterian done the same, Catholics and all. That's right. So sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Pot ain't called kettle black. We're all human beings and we're subject to all those things among our people. But God deals with us as individuals, whoever we are. So the Pentecostal blessing is right. Notice, Israel and Moab, now it's the same. We find out that the church takes on go out and take on a denominational, bring in anything they want to. They just say, well now, if you'll come and be baptized in our church and stand up and say you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then we'll baptize you in the church and put your name on the book. Now, do you know the devil believes too? Sure it does. I explained to you tonight, you like kind of immerse this old turtle. It didn't do anything to him. It didn't help him any. It took fire to make him move. And so that's what it takes for the church today is a little Holy Ghost and fire to make it move. But remember, the Holy Spirit will not take that unclean person into his, the body of Christ. That shows that the body of Christ is not a denomination. For it's a mystical body of Christ, and by one Spirit we're all baptized into it. I think we take women, men, and take them to the waters to baptize them. And we find out if they're really not Christians in their heart, we should never baptize them. I was going some time ago with a woman to the river, a group of them. One woman walked out there, she got out of her car and come across, fixing her hair up. She said, go take me down and duck me, Brother Branham. I said, not you, you're not fit to go in. That's right. There's going to have a singing at the church, and some girl, she didn't have enough money to get her some kind of a hairdo like she wanted to do to get up on a platform to sing. And her poor old mother washed over a washboard to get that hairdo for her. When I found it out, I wouldn't let her sing. I said, you're not fit to sing up there. That should be kept clean. That's what's the matter today with the churches, the corruption and stuff, right from the pulpit plumb to the basement. Right. Clean it out! That's right. We need the old-fashioned scouring pad again in the church. Like a little darky was being ordained one day, and the elders standing around said, Lord, wrap him up in burlap sacks and pour kerosene on him and set him afire for the gospel. That's what we need today. On fire! Turn him loose and then let him run! We used to brand calves. We'd take a calf, I don't know what you roped and hog tied them, anyone I guess. We used to brand them down. Someone said to me, aren't you ashamed to pack that hot iron and stick it on his side? No. I stuck it on his side. He had a kicking fit, all right. He squalled and bellowed when he turned him loose. He had a spasm. He really run, but we know who he belonged to from then on. Right. as long as he lives. And I'll tell you, brother, it takes a lot of grace to come up the altar and stay there until the Holy Ghost burns a seal down in you. You may scream and cry, that's funny, but you know where you belong from then on. That's right. For you're sealed in the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. It is a seal. Remember, the Holy Spirit come to seal those who God foreknew. Right? Right? He just didn't come down to Jesus and say, I'll die. Maybe somebody have pity and look at me and say, well, I suppose maybe if they'll think I suffered so much, it'll break their hearts and they'll come. No, no. He won't come anyhow. You can't tell a pig he's wrong by eating on a manure pile. He'll just tell you right quick. If he could talk, I'd tend to my business. You tend to yours. See? It takes a conversion. God has to do it. No man comes to Jesus except God draws him first. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to even turn your heart.
Yes.
It takes God. Someone said, I sought God and sought God. No, no, no. God sought you, not you seeking God. God seeks you. All right. The Holy Spirit doesn't take in this any kind of a wife. Doesn't take in somebody that smokes and somebody that drinks and somebody that lives immoral and somebody that carries along with all kinds of worldly things, because it said if you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. But the Holy Spirit come to seal into the body the wife of Jesus Christ that he foreknew before the foundation of the world, when he by being God and foreknowledge he could see who would receive him and who would not. So the Holy Spirit comes to get that bride. That's the one he takes in. But the church says, oh, used to sing a little song. I hope I don't sound sacrilegious. You had a little song we used to sing, Come and Dine, the Master Calleth. You had a little song that made it a little different. Forgive me if I stumbled you anyway. Said, come and dine. The pastor called, come and dine. You can have your ice cream suppers all the time. Tell the dirty jokes. Chew a cud and puff a smoke. Oh, the pastor calls to the congregation, come and dine. Instead of come and dine. What a difference. Take them in as long as they got a little money and can pay in. Put them on the deacon board. They got two or three wives. Put them on there anyhow because they're influential man in the city. I don't care if the city hates them. I want them influential in heaven where the Holy Spirit, where they can have some influence among the people. But it's just come and dine. Everything, I asked the girl some time ago, are you a Christian? And she said, I give you to understand I'm an American. Like that had anything to do with it. She's in Switzerland. Like that had anything to do with it. Brother Bosworth said, he asked a woman one time, she said, I'll give you to understand I'll burn a candle every night. Now, like that's got anything to do with Christianity. Burn a candle every night. Got to be born into this. The kingdom of God. Now, we find those spirits, watch, just about the time that Jesus came on the scene, Judas came on the scene. Just about the time Jesus went off the scene, the same day Jesus and Judas both went off the scene. Just about the time the Holy Ghost came on the scene, what happened? Antichrist come on the scene. For John says so. The little children, be not deceived by it. Said the Antichrist, it's already a work in the world. See? It ain't coming in these last days. It's already there. Then. It's always been. And now you watch. Just about the time the Antichrist is holding itself up now and taking all the churches, even our Pentecostal, into the big morgue up here, the UN churches. You understand what I mean. I understand some of our Pentecostal organizations is getting into that. What? How far away from the Spirit of God can you get when you start wandering? Just slip off that narrow road and you just keep sliding. That's right. You got to come back to where you left off. That's right. Confederation of churches which will form the image of the beast. And we all know that. See, there it is all working right around now to bring all the churches together and unite ourselves together to fight communism. Don't you worry about communism. It ain't going to be the thing to fight. These three curtains, I say this in the name of the Lord, don't you forget it. There's an iron curtain, a bamboo curtain, and a purple curtain. Watch that purple curtain.
Amen.
Keep your eye on that. Oh, my. How we see now the Antichrist beginning to unfold itself, taking a hold in the nation, could even elect their own man, other churches forming in with it, making one great big ecclesiastical head. All the Anglican bishops are going over now into Rome to consult with the Pope for the first time for hundreds of years. Oh, it's all taking head. And we Protestants set back, you know, and... Oh, there you are. See, just go ahead. Because it's cooled off. We ain't going to stop it. It ain't going to stop. It's going to get worse. It's, the Bible said so. That the Pentecostal church in the last days, we know, is the Laodicean church age that gets lukewarm and God spits it out of his mouth. Makes him sick in his stomach. You just can't stand it the way it is. Now, let's go on now and get some of these seals and work them out for the next few minutes. We go over now, if you're putting your scriptures down, let's go to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. And we find out the prophet foreseen the first coming of the church. Now we find that he seen, called the prophet, and he looked up at the higher gates and said, "Has you ever seen anything like this?" And there come from the high gates four men with slaughtering weapons in their hand. Here, Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. Now remember, that slaughtering was designated only to Jerusalem. Go through the city. But before they went through the city, they found another thing happened. There came a man with in white with an inkhorn at his side, a rider's inkhorn. And he said, "Stop these other men, that they should not go into the city until first the man dressed in white with the rider's inkhorn would go through the city of Jerusalem and set a seal upon or mark of those that sigh and cry for the abominations that's done in the city." Now, this one with the inkhorn at his side was the Holy Spirit. Now notice, after he went through, then he turned these men loose with slaughtering weapons. He said, "Utterly destroy all, both young, old, young maids, little children. Spare nothing, but don't come near any of those who have that seal upon them." Notice it. Now, when did that take place? That was the early Pentecostal church, when the Holy Spirit went to and marked out the church. Now, notice how history, if you ever taken the writing of Josephus, when he wrote of the great battle about 96, when all the people and the Holy Ghost, when Jesus came, performed the signs of the Messiah, proved that he was Messiah. After he left, he transferred himself into glory, sent back the Holy Ghost and anointed the apostles. They went forth doing the same signs that he did.
Yes. Amen.
They had the power of the Lord. They spoke in tongues. They shouted. That was a mighty rushing wind filled them. And they went forth with such a seal until they burnt the cities with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They made fun of them. They laughed at them. That's right. Jesus said, "You speak against me, I'll forgive you. But when the Holy Ghost has come, one word against it will never be forgiven." And they sealed their eternal destination when they made fun of the people that was filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus told them, said, "Now the time will come." Now you have to notice so many teachers there, they They asked Jesus three different questions in Matthew 24. He answered each one. That's the reason to give it up to the Seventh-day Adventists, to that, pray if light be not in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day or winter time. He was asking them, when will these things be? What will be the sign of the coming in the world? And three different questions they asked him. And he explained it just as they asked him there. And it's taken place. History shows it's right. What difference would it make if your flight now running from the city would be on the Sabbath day? Then the gates of the city was closed on the Sabbath day. What difference would it make? Sure, it wasn't universal, because it would be summertime in one place and winter in another. Pray that your flight be not in the wintertime or on the Sabbath day. Because in that day, they were warned, said, let them that's in Jerusalem flee into Judea. Judea was snowbound in the wintertime. Pray that your flight be not in the wintertime, neither on the Sabbath day. But when Titus came up, and they seen Jesus, told them, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, let him that's in the field don't return to get his coat, but hit for the hills of Judea just as hard as you can go. Get out of there! Because they're going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If they blaspheme the Holy Ghost, they take the mark of the beast, and there's nothing but destruction left. Those Jews, when they seen trouble coming, they said, now we will gather into the city, into the house of the Lord, and pray. Doesn't that sound very religious? Very sweet. Oh, Satan can make it look just so real. Sure. But remember, Josephus said that those people that were cannibals, said there's a bunch that followed Jesus of Nazareth who went around healing the sick, said Pilate killed him, and they stole his body away and had it out somewhere and cut it up and eat it. They were cannibals. What they were doing were taking communion in the body of the Lord. Yes. See? And he said none of them was lost, because they hid out for Judea just as the Scripture told them to do. Like Jesus had told them to do it. But those Jews, they all went into Jerusalem, and they said, now we'll gather to the house of the Lord, and great Jehovah, who's always been with us, will come down, and he will drive away the armies of Titus. That's what he'll do. But what did they do? They had sinned against the Holy Ghost. They'd make fun of the power of the Holy Ghost in operation. They called Jesus Christ, who was performing and showing them that he was their Messiah. They called him Beelzebub. Amen. Called him a devil. Told him it was some kind of a telepathy. Said he was a devil. The works that he was doing was the works of the devil. They had it coming to him. Now, brother, you just wait. We won't get time tonight. But tomorrow night, I want to take you over and show you that the United States has done the same thing. Exactly. I'll prove it to you by the Scriptures. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, and how the United States has done the same thing exactly in these last 40 years. They've made fun and called them holy rollers, Pentecostal fanatics, and everything in the world, and God working with them with signs and wonders, and the big churches have set off like this and made fun. And now, in the last days, what's happened? Let me bring the Scriptures to you. Are you ready? I differ with my precious brother David Duplessis. Going up there, Dr. Mackay and all these big churches, and now what are they going to say now? Oh, the Presbyterians are saying, we need speakers in tongues. We need them to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need divine healers and all like that. Why didn't they accept it 40 years ago when it came out instead of making fun of it? They'll never do it. Amen. They are dead. Their denominations and every denomination's dead. Amen. Exactly right. Amen. It'll never rise again. No denomination will never rise. Amen. Assemblies, you've had your day. Oneness, you had your day. Foursquare, you had your day. Time of Mrs. McPherson. The old school assemblies had their day. What have you done? You've denominated yourself and separated yourself. You'll never take a denomination in, because it was a Catholic order in the first place that God condemned in the beginning. It'll never go in. No Baptist, Presbyterian, or nothing else. But God will pull a hungry heart from every denomination that he can, for that's his body that he'll take in. And that are sealed by the Holy Spirit. They've done took the mark of the beast. Look at it now. The Pentecostal church has done showed its colors. Now it's spewed out. Jesus on the outside knocking, trying to come in. What's he knocking? The very Messiah knock and everything else, and they still turn him out.
Right.
Certainly they do. But what has happened? What day are we living in? Oh, my brother. What day are we living in? Don't think I'm crazy. I hope I'm not. If I'm crazy, just let me alone. I feel better this way than the other way. I tell you, my brother and sister, what's it the sign of? It's the sign we're at the end time. What did Jesus say about the sleeping virgin? Oh, you call them churches virgin? It's like Cain was, exactly the same thing. They worship. But the sleeping virgin had no oil in her lamp. Is that right? So when she found out, she's later in what she thought, communism slipping up on her, she said, give us some of your oil. How do you get this Holy Ghost? You go buy it from one itself. And remember, the very time that the sleeping virgin went to buy the oil, that's when the bridegroom came.
Amen.
Hey! Don't you see it? If the Presbyterians and the Episcopalians and those others are come seeking for the Holy Ghost, you better get your lamp trimmed. Trimmed. Yes, it needs trimming. Pentecost better be trimmed tonight. Amen. Get a lot of this world cut away from you. You done got crowded over. The wick's got in bad shape. You know, that wick is a great thing. I used to watch what a real wick of God is, a believer, is the wick. Look, he's got fire on one end up here, and the other end's dipped into oil, drawing oil and making fire. What a church! What a power! What a place to be!
Hallelujah!
Shining that same gospel light that's shining in the east is shining in the west. It shall be light in the evening. Rise, trim your lamp, Pentecost. Trim off the world. Trim off the fashions of the world. Trim off the things of the world. Get ready. The hour is at hand. And right when they went to get this, what happened? What taken place? Then the bridegroom went in. See, America has blasphemed the Holy Ghost. She's made fun of it ever since she come on the scene of existence 40 or 50 years ago. She's constantly made fun. The other churches has made fun. They've showed themselves. Now they begin to stick their head out and say, we'd like to have a little of this. But just as when they go to doing that, it's a sign that we should go to trimming our lamps. God raised up some preachers that'll go to trimming lamps. I'm telling you, what we need today is something that'll trim a lamp. So the true Pentecostal fire. You get an old lamp all where the carbon gets on the lamp wick. It'll smoke your lamp all up. That's what's the matter with us. We got too much carbon on the lamp. Too much carbon. The fire can't draw right. That can't get enough air from the bottom. What we need is a good breathing spell. A good breath, fresh breath from heaven of the baptism of the Holy Ghost over again, and the Holy Spirit working in the church with signs and wonders following. The true seal of God. God say, well, I'll go up to sin. If they don't treat you right, I'll go up to four square. Oh, you carboned up. You're smoking your light. Trim your light! Ready. We're at the end time. But they will. Somebody will preach it. Somebody will tell it. Somewhere there'll be some of them that'll get it.
Amen.
That's right. I don't know how many, because he said as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man, where 8 souls are saved. But I don't know how many will get it, but there'll be some of them will trim their lamp. That's all there is to it. For lamp trimming time is on, and when the sleeping virgin went out, which had already received the mark of the beast, you say, mark of the beast, that? Yes, indeed. So did Cain receive the mark and went out. What was it? When the Baptist church, when the Pentecostal church, when the Presbyterian church took on the mark of the beast instead of receiving the Holy Ghost, they went out from God and made them an organization. What'd they do? Took them a false wife. A false wife for the world. Brought in, painted up Jezebels and everything else. Short hair and wearing shorts and skirts and Hollywood fashion, and preachers got out to take them in with deacons with two or three wives and a man. You say you're always talking on our women, about our women. All right, man, I'll comb you down once then. Let me tell you something. Any man that'll let his wife smoke cigarettes and wear shorts, I got little respect of him even being a man. He's so 65 years old. What he belongs to. He ain't a man. Right. Oh, hallelujah. Right. He's a poor excuse for a man. Oh, he may be 6 foot tall, weigh 200 pounds, but that don't look like a man to me. That shows who's boss around your house. She'd stomp her foot. I tell you right now, and you'd bow down like you was a sick kitten. It's a matter. What we need today is man. We need gospel preachers. And any preacher that'll stand in a pulpit and hold back on those things, I got little respect of him being called of God. Right? A man that's ashamed to stand in the pulpit and tell the God's truth when he knows it's an immoral thing for a woman to cut her hair. The Bible, a man's got a right to leave his wife and give her a divorce when she cuts her hair. The Bible said so. Who's the head of a woman? Her husband. And the Bible said if a woman cuts her hair, she dishonors her head. No dishonorable woman should be lived with. Amen. Amen. She cuts off her glory. And so does the church when she does the same thing. She cuts her glory stream off. Oh, God. Why do I say these things? But it's truth. No, we won't need compromisers. We need men and women who will stand for justice and right and tell the truth regardless of what it is. Amen. The seal of God. Trim your lamps, my brother. Let the light of the Holy Spirit burn out again. Fresh. It's getting dark. Oh, it's such a horrible time. It's getting dark. Here, some time ago, I went down. I was coming from Dallas. And